the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as he shifts and cracks. Where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires. Yeah, man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, past the mills, past the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
Welcome, everybody, to Scaredy Cats, the first episode of 2022. I'm, of course, one of your hosts, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my sister, Mindy.
Hoo-hoo-hoo! Hello, guys. Happy New Year.
We are excited to bring this to you. It's going to be a 2022 horror movie preview. And we're also going to be highlighting some of the gems that we enjoyed from 2021. So it's going to be a good time.
All right.
Before we do all that, we'll do a few brief plugs here. Make sure to check out Box and Smark, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday and Saturday. Saturdays are Hollywood Hangout. You might be seeing me pop up on there soon for an episode or two. We've been in talks. Make sure to check out their Wednesday wrestling show. Eric's been on there a lot, so check them out, and make sure to keep checking us out. 6:30 Friday, we're bringing back Unscripted Wrestling next week. We're bringing back Unscripted Unlimited next Saturday, and it's going to be a good time. So make sure to check those shows out, and keep being here for Scaredy Cats. Right now, the time's going to differ sometimes throughout the week, but we'll let you know on our Facebook groups and TikTok, and we'll keep everybody in check. Today's 1 p.m. We'll try to get back to 3 whenever we can, but, you know, we have shit to do. So let's get started.
Yeah, sorry, guys. Mindy had to get a new job, so.
Oh, yeah. So let's get into it.
So, Daniel, let's get into it. What was your favorite in 2021? Let's start with that.
All right. I don't know if this was necessarily my favorite, but I had to bring it up because we saw it in theaters. We were excited for this, and this is a horror movie. I was kind of on the brink of, is it action? Is it? But I really think it's a horror. It's even called the horror reboot. I had to go Resident Evil, Welcome to Raccoon City, because I think it really does.
Yes.
It does the horror genre a lot of. It does it way more pluses than the old Resident. The old Resident Evils were action movies for sure, but this is a horror movie with the way it's shot, with the visuals, with how everything. It's just a very. It seems like a very like that's the vibe of it. You know, it's just that's the genre it's playing in, is survival horror, and it was awesome. Every break of the
They did a really good job.
Oh, really great job. Even if you don't like the video games and you're just a horror fan, I think you can go into this movie and get some enjoyment out of it, especially if you like the old zombie movies like Night of the Living Dead and stuff, because it brings a lot of those type of elements into it. It also
and
has
like
the
Dawn
cool
of the Dead and whatnot.
Yeah, it brings a lot of the old elements set in 1998. And if you're a fan of the video game, you got to see it because it's just a perfect homage. It's a chef's kiss to the video games. And the whole story works for me. Chris Redfield and her brother Claire, the dumb cop and Leon, the badass and Jill Valentine and the traitor and Wesker, all the characters were pretty good casted. I like the movie.
Yeah, I got to say I really enjoyed that, too. That's a good pick.
Yeah.
My favorite from 2021 is actually one, guys, that Daniel has not seen yet. I've been trying to get him to watch it. It's on Hulu. If you have that, go ahead and check it out. It's called Willy's Wonderland. It is starring Nick Cage, who plays a complete, total, silent janitor. And he gets tricked by the town. The town is cursed. And they have kind of like a Chuck E. Cheese-like place. But it's called Willy's Wonderland with Willy the Weasel. Well, the man that used to own it, he sacrificed himself plus a bunch of his cult followers and sacrificed their souls into the animatronics. Well, it gets even better. to keep them in Willy's Wonderland and keep them contained, the sheriff cut a deal and they trap outsiders going through the town with like a tire spike rig. And then when the person's like, oh, I can't pay for it, they're like, oh, well, we'll let you clean out this place called Willy's Wonderland. We want to get it back up and running. And as long as you get the place clean and whatnot throughout the night, you're good to go. We'll have your car ready for you. You won't have to pay anything, and we'll give you $200 on top of it. Sounds like a sweet deal, right?
Yeah.
No. The thing is that nobody ever warns anyone that gets picked for the job. So they go in there completely unprepared, just thinking that they're cleaning. And they get basically decimated. Like, it's horrible. But Nick Cage, now, mind you, he does not say a word. He doesn't even do the Nick Cage grunt. He does it like one time. This
right.
motherfucker is all about just cleaning and getting the hell out of there. I'm not even kidding you. He is a montage with a pinball machine, guys, and an energy drink. It is like an 80s full-on montage. It's wonderful. And every time his little break thing goes off, he just does his business. Like, there's these kids trying to get him out and stuff, and he's not listening to them.
Right.
He's just like, I just want to clean. Like, leave me alone. And it's hilarious because whenever these animatronics come up to him and they're like, I'm going to rip your insides out, yeah, he rips their insides out instead. So basically, it's like an hour and a half of Nick Cage just being Nick Cage.
Yeah.
But it's a
movie.
Really good movie, really good premise. It's got some really, really nice kills in it. So definitely, definitely go check out Willy's Wonderland.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to also talk about something that we also watched in the theaters. It wasn't a work thing. It wasn't for the podcast, but we just went and saw it. I think it's kind of an underrated movie. I'm not sure how it did in box office and stuff, but Last Night in Soho. Because that was a really good psychological, you know, more of a thriller, but still a good psychological horror flick.
It still counts. People died.
Oh, yeah, it for sure counts. It was very creepy the whole way.
Absolutely. And as far as underrated goes, I don't know how it did in the box office, but I will have to say a lot of people that I know that watch these movies, that love these movies, have actually fallen in love with this movie. So
okay,
even though it didn't do well at the box office, I have a feeling it's going to be a cult hit.
Yeah, and that lead actress, apparently she's like a superstar now too. So
yeah, they're putting her in a lot of stuff.
And Matt Smith, I mean, we all know Matt Smith, and he was a fucking awesome kind of villainous role in that. It's just a dirty crook pimp. It was a really good done. You can tell it was an Edgar Wright movie, and it was very psychological, and it really drove the point home. There was so many messages and themes. It was one of those. It's not you're bringing a bunch of people to die. It's making you think.
Yeah. Absolutely, and the cinematics, I have to say, the cinematography was so beautiful.
Yeah.
They did such a good job.
Absolutely. I love the core theme of, like, because everyone has a romanticized period in either, like, U.S. history or London, or everyone's got that time, like, oh, I'd rather live in here. But then you think, like, oh, I'd rather live in a Western, but you're getting shot at or something. So it kind of plays in that theme, like, all the old London and stuff, that looked like beautiful, like the nightclub life and everything, being a singer. But then you showed the dark side of it too. And it really played well on that theme.
Yes, it did. Absolutely.
Another one, I think we covered it on the show, but The Conjuring, the latest installment in The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It. That was a good
one. That was really good.
That was a good ghost flick.
Yeah. And I don't really like ghost flicks too much. But to double down on The Conjuring, I will have to say, guys, for 2022, we are going to be getting another addition to The Conjuring universe.
Yeah.
If you've seen the second Conjuring, the Crooked Man that they talk about in the music box, he's getting his own film.
You know, James Wan has just, you know, crafted a perfectly beautiful horror movie universe. They didn't know if it could be done, and he really did it with these Conjuring movies. And every installment I get excited to see. There's only been a couple duds. Most of them have been pretty solid movies.
Absolutely. And then we have the prequel to The Orphan coming up, which I really wasn't excited about this one, Daniel. You know this.
Yeah.
But now, after seeing Isabella Furman, the one that plays Esther, seeing the trailer, seeing the behind the scenes and her interviews and everything, it looks like it's going to be really well done. Apparently, they took two little girls, twins, that look exactly like she did when she played the role, and they're going to be her stand-ins to do the younger parts. And then it's going to be her. But basically, it's going back to the first family whose child she impersonated and how she ends up in the insane asylum. So it looks like a good flick. It really does. And they spent about 2 years on it. So at this point, if it's not good, it was never going to be good. And then, of course, everyone knows we have Scream coming up.
Yeah, a lot of franchises. I feel like this is the year of franchises getting new installments. We'll talk about some of the others, too. But Scream's no different. And, I mean, that's our most anticipated movie of 2022. We've been looking forward to this for about 10 years now. So I can't fucking wait.
Ever since Neve Campbell said that she wouldn't do another Scream either without Wes Craven or Kevin Williamson, and now here she is.
Yep.
But Williamson is a executive producer. So he didn't write it, but he was on the set. So,
yeah,
and I have high hopes for it, because she said in the beginning when Wes died that she would never do another movie as Sidney Prescott ever again unless it did Wes justice.
Right.
So, we'll see.
Oh, we certainly will. I mean, I like the theme of they're tying everything together, which Scream has always kind of done. It's always been it's meta, and they acknowledge that everything else exists too, but it's also, they stay within their franchise of like building stuff. So I like how, you know, they're like, it's all going to be related to past killers or past victims. And I think that's cool. And I hope the script does the talented actors justice. Cause you got the kid from 13 Reasons Why in there. You got some really good young actors with the veterans.
And you're going to love this, Daniel. You're going to love this.
What?
They did a interview with Entertainment Weekly with Jamie Foxx, the man that played Randy Meeks. Randy Meeks, his sister went on to have two children who live in Woodsboro.
Oh, shit.
He's got a niece and a nephew, and the niece's name is Mindy. It's Mindy Meeks.
Mindy Meeks.
It's my dream come true.
She's gonna,
I'm so excited. And, and then other than that, he said that he thinks, he hasn't read a script or anything like that, but he feels that if they want to end the movie on a high note, Sydney needs to be the killer. That's his personal opinion.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah, it would be crazy. But, and like you said, he doesn't know. He was just, I mean, he was on the set, I think, for a couple of days just to, like, teach the kids how Randy would act, like the two that are playing his niece and nephew.
Right.
So that's about it. So he really doesn't know much else, but he thinks Sydney should be the killer, which I think would be interesting.
I don't know. I have mixed feelings on that.
And it's been played with and toyed with so much over the years, and I get that. But
yeah.
I really feel like after watching Nev Campbell and the other roles that she's done, she did a movie called Wild Things? Something Wild. I think it was Wild Things. Sorry, guys. It's not really a horror movie. But she actually plays the mastermind behind the entire situation. She's running the show. And honestly, she did great. She did really good at it. So if they were going to take that turn, at least I have faith that the actors could actually do it.
Right. No, absolutely. I think it'll be a good job. I don't really need Sydney to be a killer just because she's the scream queen, you know? I mean, it'd be the ultimate bait and switch, and it'd be a great twist. But it's also, we all think it's going to happen anyway. I don't even want her to die. I think she should be able to retire and call it a life and give her
That's
a happy
ending. That's what I'm hoping what happens. Just give her a happy ending.
And kill Jill. Or Gail. Not Jill. Gail.
Yeah.
I always fuck up.
Yeah, Gail needs to die.
Yeah.
And they need to make up their mind on what they're going to do with poor Dewey. Because
I
can only feel bad for Dewey so many times.
Based off the trailer, though, I like this hardened, gritty, fucking no-nonsense Dewey that they seem to be presenting us with. The goofball
cop
is always awesome.
Yeah, I didn't see a sheriff's badge.
No, I don't know what he's going to be doing, but he seems to be a different Dewey, and I can't wait to see what they're going to do with that. Because
yeah,
the goofball cop
very
can only
grungy
go so
looked at.
Yeah. You can tell all the stuff they've gone through is really fucked with his head. And I think that's a cool kind of theme to play with in this movie.
Yeah, because honestly, I don't know if everyone's going to agree with me on this, but in my own opinion, I really feel like that's the way Dewey's character should be at this point.
Now, yes. Especially now. You could have even made an argument that he could have been like that in the fourth one. But he was like the new sheriff and everything, so I understand. But now, for sure, I'm glad they're doing this gritty Dewey. I can't
wait
to
see. Yeah,
because
now if you think about it, he's lost everybody he's been close to. He lost half the people on his police force that he was the sheriff of. And that was his mistake. And not to mention, he was wrong about Jill. He almost got Sydney killed.
I'd be interested to see, because he's so sad, if him and Gail went in this movie divorced or not. Because they haven't said what they're going to do there. And they didn't show any scenes of them together, really, in the trailer.
I did see one behind-the-scenes photo, because go check out, guys, all of the behind-the-scenes stuff, because now it's all starting to come out with the movie about to release. And they did do a sit-down with Courtney Cox and David Arquette, and both of them did say that after 10 years of not working together, it's been oddly refreshing to go back and be in love again. So I don't know if it's going to be like a complicated relationship with those two or if they're still going to be married. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. But it'll be interesting to find out. That's a cool thing, a cool little side plot to talk with. So, yeah.
Yeah, they always had the secondary story.
How about us getting a new Texas Chainsaw? February
18th. I don't like it. I mean, I like the actors going in. I like the directors. I like the fact that they're not going to try and do a theater release, because to me that doesn't feel right. But if you go back and you watch the original Texas Chainsaw and you watch it closely, the woman that plays Sally, her character run jumps through not one, but two different windows, breaks the windows with her body, okay?
Yeah.
People don't do that anymore. She didn't use no stunt double. They filmed that movie in 48 hours because the guy wanted to get it done and he wanted to be authentic. The girl that was Sally actually ended up in the hospital with a few broken ribs. So, I mean, to me, you can't recreate something like that. Because when I watch that movie now and I see Sally and whatnot, those screams of pain are actually her screaming. So, I mean, in a way, I am excited to see how they're going to reboot it.
Yeah.
But in another way, I'm skeptical because everybody on this channel plus you knows that Mindy is not a big fan of remakes.
Yeah. And it's something that's been remade before a couple times, so we'll see how it goes.
Eddie's gotten a prequel, and he's gotten sequels, and I think we already know everything we need to know about Leatherface.
Yeah. Now, the last thing I want to touch on here before we call it home, because,
okay.
I mean, there were so many great horror movies last year. There was so many good coming up, but we are getting the finale to the modern Halloween trilogy. So with saying a few words about Halloween Kills, because, you know, I didn't like that movie. I thought that was a little overrated.
After I watched it a couple of times, I didn't like it.
Yeah. The first impression, I was a little all right with it, but I saw it again, and I was just like, I don't know about this movie. And Halloween Ends, it's coming out October 14th. It's supposed to put a cap on everything. What do you think, Mindy?
All I'm going to say is I'm going to quote Jamie Lee Curtis on this. Jamie Lee Curtis came out and said that when the movie ends, people are going to be pissed. And the way that I take that as a fan is that she's going to die. And I don't think that's right. Jamie Lee Curtis is one actress that they should just leave alone.
Yeah.
She don't need to die.
It bothered me.
Kind of like how you feel with Sydney.
I don't even know why she was in Halloween Kills. Her role in Halloween Kills was so underdeveloped.
I know, they could have done so much more with her.
That first reboot was good, man. It might not have been a pure horror movie. This might have been more horror than the first one. But that movie was really damn good at reintroducing Michael Myers and being kind of a direct sequel to the first one. It did a good job. And I think Halloween Kills undid a lot of that. And
because
they tried
too hard.
They did. But they had
they
a lot
tried
more
way too hard to make it a horror.
They did. And getting the kill count super high.
Exactly. Getting that kill count super high and bringing in that blood and gore and carnage. And I appreciate that stuff. I really do. But I really hope that after they see the numbers and everything, that they revise Halloween Ends a little bit, because I do know it's already made. So hopefully maybe they go back and revise it a little bit and make it a little bit more action-packed. Because, I mean, we love our horror movies. We love our slasher movies, especially on this channel. But, I mean, everyone's got to agree with me here. It can't just be about the kills.
No.
You
got to
have something.
I love kills. We give awards based on kills on this fucking show. That is horror, is kills as well. But what we need from this last Halloween movie is a nice story. a good story to wrap everything up. That's what we need. We don't need all this blood and guts and unnecessary characters. We need a good story based on these core women that, that we followed from the first one. And see what the granddaughter is going to do and see what they're going to do with Jamie Lee Curtis. We need a good story to wrap a bow on this thing.
Yeah. I definitely 100% agree with that. And just to double up on Halloween Kills here, one of the worst scenes in that movie, I would have to say, would have to be in the hospital when Tommy creates that mob.
Yeah.
And they all go after the crazy guy. That wasn't right. They knew. I mean, you're going after a 5'2" fat guy when you guys just saw the news and saw that he's a skinny 6'4" guy.
Yeah, he's like a giant.
And he's running away from you and asking for help. That's not a killer.
Yeah.
They're not going to be like, help me, help me, help me. No. First off, Michael doesn't even talk. So the fact that this guy was talking, come on.
Yeah, it didn't make much sense. The whole Tommy Doyle character didn't make much sense. I know they tried to do a callback.
He pissed me off.
It was stupid. And the whole side plot didn't work. It didn't make sense. And during that, I was like, give Jamie Lee Curtis more screen time. This is fucking stupid. Why is she – and her whole role was like, oh, I'm in the hospital. I'm kind of hurt. That's her whole shit throughout the whole movie. She never leaves the hospital. So
except she does find out one little piece of information from her friend, a fellow police officer, that went through this ordeal with her 40 years ago. I don't know if you remember. At the end, he told her that Michael was never going after her. Michael was going after him because he framed Michael for an accidental murder that he committed.
Yeah.
Michael put the guy's partner in front of him, and the guy trying to shoot Michael shot his partner, and then when Dr. Loomis popped in and said, did Michael kill again? He said, yes, and he framed Michael.
Right.
So I think they need to bring him back a little bit. I think if they're going to do that, they need to wrap up the story.
Yeah, I agree.
So... but with that, guys, I'm going to give a good old hootie-hoo. And
all right.
I will see you all next week. Daniel, what do you want to do?
I was thinking, this kind of came out without us even realizing it, even though we were excited for it. And it already got canceled after the first season. You want to review the first season of that I Know What You Did Last Summer show on Amazon Prime?
Sure, but I need your Prime stuff.
Yeah, that's fine. But
because Mindy didn't watch that remake, guys. I thought it was supposed to be a movie. I actually put in my headshot for an extra for that movie.
Yeah, no, but they already made the series. It already came and gone and got canceled. So let's watch that and talk about that next week.
All right, sounds good, guys. Hootie hoo. Have a good weekend.
Right.
Be safe. And we'll see you all next week.
Absolutely.
All right. Bye, guys.